Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. And with me today, because I know this will make John happy, I have the A-Team. How are you, John Martellaro?
Yeah, here I am, John Apple Pay Martellaro. Good morning.
Yeah, you're totally digging the Apple Pay thing, and that's pretty cool. Yep. And Kelly Gumont, how are you, Kelly?
I'm very well, but I unfortunately don't have a clever nickname. I can't think of anything. I'm only halfway through my coffee. Sorry.
That's all right. Kelly, caffeine deprived Gumont. Yeah. Yeah. So it's great to have both of you guys here. And we have a sponsor this week. That would be lynda.com. So yay. I'm really excited about that. And we have some topics. So the first thing that we're going to dive into is a piece that you wrote, John, about Apple Watch pricing. And I'll preface this with what we know for sure right now is that the entry-level price for Apple Watch will be $349, but Apple has not said anything about which watch that will be, what sort of band it will come with. Mm-hmm. The assumption is that's the Apple Watch Sport with the plastic band, and everything else will cost
is
more.
That is the assumption. And there's all sorts of little nuances here. In Apple's own overview page, they put the Sport in the middle with a lime green plastic band, which is out of order, which is intriguing and mischievous. But yeah, you're right, Jeff. We've assumed that the Sport watch with aluminum and Xion glass is the least expensive. We expect that there'll be a premium for a stainless steel case and a sapphire crystal.
Now, won't there also be a premium for buying the larger of the two sizes? I'm assuming the $349 is for the one for my arm.
That's what I wrote in the article, yeah.
And the up a notch is going to be $399. That's my presumption.
Not too many sites have taken note of that. When Apple says starting at $349, everybody assumes that's the 42-millimeter men's watch. And like you said, Kelly, I think it's going to be the 38-millimeter women's version. Then you're going to have to pay $50 more for the men. So then you're at $399.
And I think that's going to be the tier. I'm going to take us down a rabbit hole right now.
So sure.
I find it fascinating, John, that you look at the two sizes and equate them to men's size and women's size. And that may very well be what Apple is doing. But I look at them and I'm like, big face, small face. And I haven't ever thought about them from a gender standpoint.
Oh, there's the Jeff Gamet version and there's the Shaq O'Neal version.
Yeah. I think for the Shaq O'Neal version, if I'm remembering who he is correctly, you need to stick two or three together.
He's a 7-foot tall basketball player. He's going to buy four of them and tile them.
I remember Shaq Attack.
Yes.
Didn't he do a really bad movie where he was like a genie or something?
Shazam or something? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway.
You let us down this rabbit hole, Gamet.
Yeah, I'm going to pull this back up real quick.
So there's a smaller version and a larger version, which they also don't generally make a big deal about, like on the site and stuff. Like it's sort of mentioned, but it doesn't seem to be a very obvious thing that there's a slightly larger face and a slightly smaller face. And I think that there's going to end up being a whole lot of conversation once people are able to look at all of them at once, the way they did at the event where you could see both sizes. And I think that what's probably going to happen is that because just like John was saying, the larger one is generally going to be referred to as the men's watch and the smaller one is generally going to be referred to as the women's watch, because men will go to the store and men are who write a lot of technical articles. Yeah. Men are going to go in and go, Apple lied to me about which watch was going to be $350 and I walked in with $350 and my watch is $400 and screw you, Apple. Blah, 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 something doomed.
It's always a whiner in the audience.
No, there's going to be a bunch, and they all write for websites, and we're going to end up getting a wave of complaints. I guarantee it.
What got me started on this is I have a particular interest in the sapphire crystal. I used to have a Rado watch years ago before it broke, and then it was sent in for fixing, and it broke again. So I've had experience with a sapphire crystal, and it was beautiful. It was stainless steel, and sapphire, and it never scratched in a decade that I wore it. Whereas every other watch I've ever had has always gotten dinged on a doorknob or scratched somehow, and it really greatly annoys me. So there's that watch in the middle. Of course, it's not in the middle of Apple's diagram, but we think it's in the middle of the price range. And the question is, how much more are we going to pay for sapphire and stainless steel? So I started looking at materials costs and found out that aluminum is a little less than a dollar a pound and stainless steel is a little more than a dollar a pound. Stainless steel is a little harder to machine because of its brittleness. But there's so little of it on a watch compared to a pound of metal that the price difference is negligible. I did some research on sapphire cost, and the delta for sapphire on a small crystal over Exxon glass is not that many dollars. So even with Apple's huge markup from the source cost, it's hard to justify how Apple could charge a whole lot more.
Well, I think another key element that goes into the cost of each watch level, I'll call them, is going to be the band.
Oh, yeah.
Because bands can cost a lot of money. And
that's
something that Brian has has talked about.
Credit to Brian Chaffin for mentioning that the base sapphire watch will have a more expensive band to justify that. Plus, there's that aura, the mystique of sapphire, which, you know, a watch crystal either scratches or it doesn't. So if you're willing to pay $100 more for a crystal that isn't going to scratch, the materials cost becomes irrelevant and the fashion and the durability kicks in. So my estimate was that it was going to be about $100 more. And the reason for that is there's buyer's psychology. If you price it out of range, as some people have suggested, maybe $700 or $800, people are going to go, oh, I can't afford that. Like you said, Jeff, I walked into the store with $349 and I want to get into an Apple Watch, but I can't possibly afford $700. A lot of people can, of course. A lot of people will be able to afford the gold edition. But for the average consumer who's a Apple fan and has an iPhone, they're not going to want to spend $800 on a watch when they can get in for $350 and try it out. So you don't want to make
that average consumer's not going to care as much about sapphire either. They're not going to.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to notice. They're not going to obsess the way that we do.
Oh yeah.
No. Not people.
Everybody wants a sapphire crystal.
Not people, John. I absolutely disagree with you on this. It's not people. People, regular people, want a watch. They want to be able to pick up their arm and see the time, and they want.
Well, that's until Apple starts.
When they look at the watch.
Wait till
Apple
starts advertising.
Look at the watch and see, you can get a text.
No,
you
when
can
Apple
do other
starts
stuff.
Doing its TV ads, you're going to go, oh, I got to have the sapphire. Scratch proof. Just wait and watch the TV ads. But the other problem is if they make the delta too small, then it devalues the sapphire watch too. So you want to have it just to the point where it's reachable, where the buyer says, oh, yeah, I can make a stretch. I'll spend the extra $100. So that's what I'm thinking.
I'm actually with Kelly on the average consumer's interest in sapphire. And I think most consumers, when they go in to buy an Apple Watch, they will see the sport edition and then the regular edition, and they'll ask, why are they $100 different? And then the Apple employees will start saying, well, on the regular model, you have the sapphire and the stainless steel, blah, 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 blah. And people will be like, well, what about sapphire? They really won't know.
That's where he pulls out a scalpel. That's where he pulls out a scalpel and drags it across the display and say, look, can't scratch it.
No, I really think the difference here for a lot of people.
If he doesn't buy it, then you stab him.
The difference here for deal breaker. I got dark in a hurry. The deal breaker here, I think, for people is going to be, I want the one with the metal band. I don't want a plastic band. Or it'll be, you know, I'm going to buy the one that has the plastic band because I'm going to go buy the leather band from some other company. I'm going to buy one and, you know, I already heard that it will hook up to my Leatherman tread that I already adore, so I'm going to hook it to that. Like, I think that the aesthetic of it is going to be a lot different, is going to be the thing that people are going to care about a lot more, and we'll probably attribute the price difference to it has a metal band or it comes in gold or whatever the obvious aesthetic difference is when you stand there and look at them in the case. I don't think it's going to come down to people having to have an in-depth conversation about a sapphire crystal. I just don't think it's going to happen most of the time.
What about all that hype where we thought the iPhone 6 was going to have sapphire? All the iPhone 6 customers are very tuned in to what sapphire is because of that.
No, not all of them.
Yes.
Hardly any of them, because most people don't live in the world that we live in where we devour way more Apple news. Like, if they didn't hear it on a network news program or a CNN program or whatever, then it didn't exist for them. So most of those people never even heard the story about how the 6 is going to be sapphire. No.
There isn't a person on the planet who hasn't been annoyed about buying a new watch and then scratching their crystal the first day, even if it's hardened glass.
I'm not saying that that's not true. But what I am saying is that people who are going to be a casual Apple fan, maybe they don't listen to podcasts, maybe they don't even know there's a podcast app available for their phone. They have some stuff on their phone. They like it. You know, you can read the book face, play a little solitaire while you wait for the kids to get out of practice or whatever. Those people have no – they are straight honey badger about the sapphire.
Here's the kicker. Apple, which is a very large and wealthy and successful corporation, has issued or is going to issue an Apple Watch with a sapphire display, and they are bound and determined to sell a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not
and
want them piling up.
They will because
it'll have a metal band, and a lot of people don't want piling up in inventory.
The end.
We'll have to disagree.
No, for agree people, I'm talking about people because I do spend a whole lot of my life with people, not with nerds, but with just plain old ordinary folks. And even at this point, some of those people are like, "Didn't I hear Apple was supposed to make a watch? Like, that's the best." That's like the most knowledge they have on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, was there a new phone? Like, I know some people, the only reason they know anything about there being a new phone is because they happen to have a problem with the phone that they had. And when they went to their wireless store to find out what they could do to get it fixed, the wireless store said, "Apple just put out a new phone. You can just get a new one. You're eligible for an upgrade." Oh, okay. You know, and like these are the same people that will say to me, "Did you know Apple put out a new phone?" You know, so there are folks out there who don't necessarily have the awareness level that some of us have. And for those people, it's going to come down to, "I don't want a plastic band. I want a metal band. I'll pay $100 more to have a metal band," full stop.
And John, I think Apple will push the sapphire face Apple Watches pretty hard. But I don't think that they're going to push them primarily because they have the sapphire. I think they're going to push them as a lifestyle thing. Like, oh, well, you know, you're upwardly mobile. You're really hip and you're cool and you need something that looks really sharp. Well, that means that you need the Apple Watch.
Right.
Not,
that is
not
a
the
fashion
Apple Watch
item.
Sport.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
Right.
I think they'll push it more as a fashion thing you need to have this type of material to scratch it and it can withstand this Newton force, blah, blah, blah.
Plus you're in suits, you know, and you're Mike Ross and you go into a meeting with Harvey Specter and you got this expensive watch on your wrist and it's all scratched up and people go, "Oh, what was he doing? Mowing the yard? Scratched his watch? How gross." You know, so
well,
fashion implies durability and good looks.
Oh my God, John! That
otherwise
that
people wouldn't buy Rolexes.
That sentence, more than any other, illustrates to me how not a woman you totally are. Oh my God!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so sorry to have lost my mind there, but it is hilarious to me that you just said fashion implies durability. the whole point of
you don't want to wear stuff that's a wreck. You know, you have a diamond bracelet.
No, but you also can't wear it out of season. So you have to make a trade.
Well, you know, you don't want to wear something that's beautiful but is a wreck and is falling apart and is threadbare.
No, I totally get that. And that's why like a Rolex looks a certain way and has, you know, basically always looked that way. There's never a trend that somebody like Rolex or I'm not going to remember the other one that I think it starts with an M. That's another one that makes like a $15,000 watch. Brian would know.
Yeah, he'd also be rolling his eyes right now, and his ears would be bleeding because you guys are implying Rolex is a high end watch, and he does not believe it is. But
no, they are higher end than the $60 Timex. Fossil that I carry in my pocket or whatever. When I'm not wearing it because I don't want it to scratch up my laptop.
Well, the thing that I think is going to happen here, instead of plastic.
Well, what's going to happen is I think we're going to get two different marketing campaigns for Apple Watch. This is my assessment of the situation. The landscape's going to go like this. The sport with the plastic or rubber band, silicone band, whatever it is, the not metal one that's a little swatchy, which is kind of why I'm partial to it. I'm not going to lie. I'm an 80s child. That one is going to be marketed as the fitness tracker. You want your heart rate. You want your this, you want your that, you want to be able to track all these crazy things and also have it hook up to your phone to do this other stuff. Bam, Apple Watch Sport. And then the other two are going to be, you're an upwardly mobile professional. You're somebody who wants to make sure that you're putting out the right appearance. This is your lifestyle. Like, you live on the edge because you can get all your text messages on your watch and like you're Dick Tracy and you need the metal band and whatever.
I think that's
what we're going to get is two different campaigns. We're going to get super duper fitness tracker and then fancy pants watch.
I think you're right. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
I think you're right as well.
We should stop now.
Actually, you're right. We should
stop now. Let's talk about Linda.
It's as if you read my mind. Yes, stopping right now gives us a happy hug endpoint and makes it easy for me to talk about our sponsor, which
don't agree with me. Go.
Lynda.com. Yay. And that's Lynda.com. And what they do is create online training courses for most anything that you can imagine. So if you need to learn how to manage certain aspects of your business, they've got you covered. You need to learn how to do professional page layout with applications like Adobe InDesign, they've got you covered. You need to learn how to edit your photos and create special effects, they've got you covered for that too. Need to learn how to be a programmer, whatever language you need to learn, they probably have a class for it. And I got an email last night saying that they had a slew of new classes that just came out yesterday. So the point of that is that this is not a static thing. They have new classes and updated classes coming out all the time. So every month you're going to be able to go and find something new to learn. And each class is broken up into nice little digestible segments so that you don't have to get overwhelmed with the topic. You can learn at your own pace in easy to follow segments, which I think is really great. Now, what they want to do is make sure that all of our listeners get even smarter than they already are. And yes, I know it's hard to believe that you, dear listener, could be smarter, but it's true. They are offering all of our listeners a 10-day free trial. So all you have to do to take advantage of that is go to lynda.com, and that's lynda.com/TDO. And sign up, you get 10 days for free, and you can absorb as many classes as you can possibly cram in to that 10-day window, and that's cool. Just hop in and do it. And Kelly, you came up with what I think is an absolutely wonderful catchphrase, and I'd love to hear it.
Lynda.com, get some smarty in your pants.
So thank you, Lynda.com, for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to their website, lynda.com/TDO. Get your 10-day free trial and start getting smarter. Okay, so now that the other topic I wanted to hit real quick before we wrap up. This is the patent that we just found out about that Apple has for it's like virtual reality goggles. Mm-hmm. That you put on. So not like Google Glass, but more like Oculus Rift. And the design looks in many ways like a non-cardboard version of Google Cardboard, which is a little folded up origami thing that you slide your smartphone into and then hold it up your face, and now your smartphone becomes your VR display. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it looks like Apple has patented in this filing.
It's It's hard to imagine that Apple would carve out a piece that Oculus Rift hadn't in terms of patents. Maybe they found a hole there and they wanted to lock it up and get some license fees at some point. I doubt whether it's an Apple initiative to try to compete with Oculus Rift.
I don't think they want to compete with Oculus Rift. Mm-mm. And I think that if Apple is actually producing some sort of eyewear VR thing, and that this isn't just a red herring to throw us off the track for what they really want these patents for, which they all companies do this. They'll patent something and patent it under the guise of one type of product when they actually plan on using the technology for something else, mm-hmm. just so their competitors right. don't catch on. But let's assume that Apple wants to make some sort of VR glasses. I'm thinking this is targeted more at entertainment, something mm-hmm. that would probably link wirelessly to your iPhone or iPad as opposed to you mount your phone in this thing. Can you imagine dangling an iPhone 6 Plus off of your face? That would be
with rubber bands. No. With rubber bands.
Yeah, not going to happen. But no. But I could see a wireless link up where this becomes your display for your games. And so you have what amounts to like an IMAX screen right in front of your face for all of your gaming. And they could also let you stream movies to this. And hey, there you go. Now we've taken care of that Apple television that everyone wants. It's a big screen, but it's actually really small.
My fantasy is that in 10 years, phones are gone. And we're all wearing contact lenses with graphene implants that put everything on our visual field. And we have a little thing hanging on our ear for Wi-Fi and for audio. And graphene contacts, and our visual field is full of goodies without having to wear Google Glass.
And John, you just brought us full circle. We have proven once again you are in fact a man.
Thank goodness.
I want to point out that when I first saw this patent, what I thought of was a better Apple CarPlay display. So that CarPlay doesn't have to be a giant screen in the middle of the console, but so that it's something where it can be projected up to, you know, on the dash where you can see some of them that do this already, where the heads up is sort of projected to the windshield. Mm-hmm. I think it might be something like that.
Yeah, the new BMW i8 has that.
Like you can talk to it, and then you know you can say Siri, read me my text or whatever, and it'll read it to you. But you can also say, show me what song is playing, show me the temperature, whatever, and then those things will pop up on the windshield for you. That's my presumption because, like you, John, I don't put a lot of stock in Apple staking out the same turf as Oculus Rift, at least not right now. Although it could be a preemptive patent, like. We had this idea and we had it first, so now every time you sell an Oculus Rift, you owe us a check.
Well, it's I think it's part and parcel of getting away from physical devices that you hold in your hand and that you look at. I mean, eventually, you know, we want to have stuff projected on our car windshields and projected on our visual field and projected in our Oculus Rift, and we want to get away from this idea of carrying around this little block of silicon that we stare at. That's got to go.
Speak for yourself.
In 10 years.
How can I ignore bus crazies if I don't have a slab of silicone to stare at?
Well, we'll just have to put mirror lenses on your Apple eyeglasses.
Yeah, that doesn't work as well. I've tried that too. Anyway.
All right, we're out of time.
That happens.
I know. There's so much more that I thought would be cool to talk about, but we are just out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
It's always great to have you here, even when I may disagree with some of your ideas.
That's cool. That's good. That's actually very good. Yeah, good thing.
I agree, because I'm right. And Kelly, thank you so much for being here. It's always great to have you, too.
You're welcome. I apologize. I'm still back at fashion equaling durability.
That's all right. I have a feeling you're going to be sitting.
I need to explain that to you in more detail. It may not have come across the way I intended.
That'll be another show.
Anyway, so long, wizard. See you at the ping pong table.
Toodaloo, guru.
And thank you to lynda.com for being our sponsor this week. Go to lynda.com/TDO and get a 10-day free trial. And thanks to all of our listeners for being with us yet again. And we will see you tomorrow.